From KCFR, this is Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. A Colorado doctor who performed more than 5,000 sex change operations has died. Dr. Stanley Biber was 82. He'd been suffering from pneumonia and died January 16th. Biber's prolific career in what's now called sexual reassignment surgery, or SRS, put tiny Trinidad, Colorado on the map as sex change capital of the world. In 1954, after his service as a war surgeon in Korea, Dr. Biber moved to Trinidad. Back then, he practiced family medicine with coal miners and their families as patients. It was in 1969 someone approached him with the idea of gender surgery. Today, Dr. Biber's practice is run by one of his colleagues, obstetrician and gynecologist Dr. Marcy Bowers. She also specializes in sexual reassignment surgery and spoke with us from Trinidad. Dr. Bowers, welcome to Colorado Matters. Thanks for being with us.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
How exactly does a family physician in southern Colorado, someone who's removing gallbladders and treating colds and flus, wind up performing his first sex change?
Well, I think anyone that knows Dr. Biber knows that he never had a problem with his ego and was very confident as a surgeon. And really, as a patient, that's exactly what you'd want. So in 1969, when a local social worker came to him and asked her to do his surgery, Dr. Biber really didn't bat an eye and just simply said, well, you know, what surgery is that? And when she explained to him that she was actually born male but considered herself to be female, as did the rest of the town, there was not so much a look of shock as simply, how am I going to get this done? And true to his legacy through the years, Dr. Biber didn't pass any judgment. He simply wrote for the original descriptions. He simply wrote to Johns Hopkins, where the original drawings were located, and put those to action.
So he'd sent for these sketches, sort of rough outlines of what the surgery would involve. Those sketches were the model for his procedure.
Exactly. And that was where he was so strong. He just took the conceptual idea, and with the talents that he possessed, was able to translate into the operating room.
So this first surgery happens in 1969. It's fair to say that Dr. Biber at this point is one of the early surgeons to do this in the U.S.
Yeah, no question. The first described transsexual in the U.S. was Christine Jorgensen, an ex-GI, who went to Copenhagen and had her operation. What happened from that is that there was tremendous interest and fascination with the story. Prior to that, the idea of changing one's sex was just unimaginable. And so actually in 1952, the story of Christine Jorgensen took center stage to a point that it was the leading news story of the year. Then what happened is that in the 1960s, university programs began to pick this up. And so there were programs in Johns Hopkins and University of Minnesota, University of Washington, UCLA, places like that, that recognized this has been a long-term phenomenon that was beginning to take expression throughout society. And so programs were gradually developed. But because the surgery is so difficult and because there was so much controversy surrounding it, university programs began to get out of the field, or because of critics were restricting access to the program. Patients then, it's so clear that this was a central part of their psyche that they needed to proceed in some way. And so increasingly private physicians were consulted. And Dr. Biber was really the first one of those.
I understand that Dr. Biber wasn't terribly pleased with the look of that first surgery, but that the patient seemed quite happy with the results.
Well, I think when you spend your entire life trying to fight the feeling, and then when you realize that this is just an inherent part of your soul and you need to go forward, pretty much any operation where there was not an obvious anatomical reference to your past, I think would make you happy.
So here's a Jewish doctor, this is 1969, performing a gender operation in what's then a Catholic hospital, decidedly Catholic hospital, Mount San Rafael. How is that possible?
I think that is one of the amazing legacies of Dr. Biber. He had a way of bringing his confidence through to everyone. He was just unique in a way that he could calm the critics, but could also provide information to convince the undecided. That really is the central part of why he was so successful in getting a small town and a Catholic hospital to accept this. The other thing he points out is that while he kept it kind of a secret until the momentum was too great to break, by the time the critics really realized what he was doing, he gathered the local religious leaders and began to hold a series of educational lectures. And like many things, education brings understanding, and understanding brings acceptance. So the religious leaders eventually saw this simply as a humanitarian effort.
As I understand it, the Catholic hospital involved the Pope. There had to be a papal dispensation to allow this to go forward?
Well, that's right. As being a Catholic hospital, Dr. Biber went, they eventually wrote to the Vatican and got a special dispensation to allow this procedure to continue.
And as you alluded to, those first surgeries were kept secret. The first one didn't make headlines.
Yes, I mean, obviously he had people in the OR who worked with him and nurses who cared for these patients on the floor. So as a someone who's followed in his legacy, I find it amazing that that little story didn't make it throughout the town, because God knows if you live in Trinidad long enough, pretty much every aspect of your life comes under scrutiny from someone. So how he kept it a secret for years, I believe, is unknown. But, you know, naturally there's always people that object to change, no matter what you're doing. And so he simply took the fight right to the people who might question it, and did that through education.
You're listening to Colorado Matters, and we're remembering Dr. Stanley Biber, the surgeon in Trinidad, Colorado, who performed thousands of sex change operations. He never named names, but said his clients included actors, politicians, police officers, and clergy. Our guest is the doctor who's taken over Biber's practice, Dr. Marcy Bowers. One local business owner that we spoke with in Trinidad had this to say about Dr. Biber. You'd see him around town and you'd think he was a rancher. He had no airs about him. Does that describe what you know of Dr. Biber?
Oh, yes. He was just one of the local townsfolks. He wasn't a large man in stature, but, of course, in legacy, he's enormous. He stood about 5'2", and typically you'd see him with some ratty-looking jeans and maybe some cowboy boots. Somebody called his outfit god-awful in one of the interviews I read. A cowboy hat was typical, and maybe a bolo tie on a special occasion. And, of course, his mode of transportation. I know that people talked about his beat-up old car that he had when he first came here. His favorite thing to drive was usually just a pickup truck.
Estimates are that Dr. Biber performed anywhere from about 5,000 to 6,000 gender operations. The vast majority, as I understand it, were male to female. Why is that?
Well, that's correct. And part of that reasoning is because there are just better surgical techniques for male to female operations. The surgery that has evolved for female to males is just not at a functional or aesthetic level that it's necessarily there. So there's also a reluctance on the part of female to males to go through with surgery.
How much different is gender surgery, and I'm speaking in this case of male to female, how different is that surgery today than when Dr. Biber first started back on that social worker in 1969?
Well, as new techniques have come along and new surgeons, each surgeon puts their own interpretation into the work. There are people who have worked at the hospital who were there for his very first surgeries. And seeing me do these surgeries today, it's described as 180 degrees different. I mean, it's just simply not the same operation.
So as doctors have come into this field, surgeons have come into this field, they've sort of added their own expertise, added their own techniques. As I understand it, the major changes can be divided into two camps, the function of organs and the aesthetics. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. There are recognition that anatomic correctness is important in terms of arterial function and nerve sensitivity. So You know, one of the funny things is I often wake up in the middle of the night coming up with my best ideas about how to change the surgery. I wouldn't be surprised if other surgeons thought that same way. And probably, although I never asked Dr. Biber this question, it wouldn't surprise me that his operation was an adaptation, his own personal interpretation of those original drawings.
How much did he add to the sort of field of knowledge when it came to SRS, sexual reassignment surgery?
Well, Dr. Biber was really the pioneer, and he took the surgery from something that was kind of an academic fascination in university centers, and he really made it an art form. He took the original drawings and he translated those into a functional and aesthetically positive result for both male to females and female to males, and made it something that people could be very proud and very happy with.
In order to undergo this surgery today, a patient has to undergo counseling, psychological screening, live as the opposite sex for, I understand, a year. Did Dr. Biber, especially in those early days, seem concerned with the sort of psychological repercussions or risks of this work?
Oh, yes, no question. Even though there was certainly a financial gain from these surgeries, Dr. Biber had a true empathy for these patients. He understood their condition. I think Dr. Biber deeply believed in the integrity of the human spirit. And you can tell that when you spoke to him. He believed people, and he could see through people that were genuine and those who were insincere. And these people came with a genuine feeling that they were biologically different. So he saw himself I don't think God mentality comes up sometimes for surgeons, but he really believed that he could change people's lives here on earth in a positive way, and that was borne out by the success he had over the years.
Did he ever have a patient who regretted the decision?
Apparently there were several. One he actually changed back, and rumor, or at least his story, is that that person was seeking notoriety and went on the talk show circuit both before, during, and then after. So he changed her one way and then changed him back. So amazingly, that got through. But, you know, in over 5,000 surgeries, really very few regrets. And that's, again, because he took that attention to really understand them psychologically. He wanted them to be well. And through that interest in doing the right thing, he eventually was one of the founders of the Harry Benjamin Society.
And this society is sort of at the fore of this realm of research.
That's right. The society meets every 2 years and establishes criteria that continue to evolve for the systematic and a scientific approach to these patients so that there's a high likelihood that the right thing will be done.
I read that his patients, perhaps yours now as well, had to live in Trinidad for about a month before surgery, and that because of this presence, folks around town became accustomed to seeing pre- and post-operative patients.
Well, there was no requirement to do that, and I think there probably are some that would prefer that people didn't actually come to town with such an intent to stay so long. But on the other hand, there was a great deal of acceptance, and you see a stranger, and you might put two and two together and assume that, you know, something's there. But often now, people are accompanied by others, and they may stay for a few days, but there's certainly no requirement to stay a long time.
We are discussing the life of Dr. Stanley Biber, the surgeon in Trinidad, Colorado, who performed thousands of sexual reassignment surgeries. He died recently at the age of 82. Our conversation with his colleague, Dr. Marcy Bowers, continues after a short break. This is Colorado Matters on KCFR. It's Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. If you've just joined us, we're talking about the life of Dr. Stanley Biber. In 1969, he began performing sex changes at a hospital in Trinidad, Colorado. By the time he retired in 2003, Dr. Biber had changed the gender of more than 5,000 patients. That earned Trinidad the title of Sex Change Capital of the World. Biber died on January 16th at the age of 82. Our guest is Dr. Marcy Bowers. She studied under Dr. Biber and has taken over his practice. Dr. Bowers, there's a website for a group called the Biber Girls. And this Biber Girls is sort of an alumni group for his many patients. I can't imagine a similar website for, say, people who've gotten their gallbladder removed by a certain doctor. What explains this kind of alumni feeling among these Biber Girls, do you think?
Well, it's perhaps you might say that's a politically incorrect kind of website for these times. But nonetheless, the Biber Girls are well known, and I think there is a deep sense of community, even though many of these patients simply disappeared into society and returned to just normal lives as women. There was a need to continue the connection that was made both with Dr. Biber and with the others who had gone through similar experiences. Going through a gender change is just unlike any other physical alteration that you can imagine. So having a gallbladder out, you just pretty much want to return and mow the lawn. But having your gender change does something so profound to one's perception of the world and the way the world interacts with you, that keeping that connection is very important.
Do you find that a connection like that is forged between you and your patients?
I think they do that with me, because there is that same sense of wanting to belong and wanting to remember what they went through. But for just having been somewhere for just a short week, and that yet making such a profound difference on your life, it is something that you never want to forget.
How is it that you first met Dr. Biber?
I had practiced OBGYN for 13 years in the city of Seattle. And, of course, myself, I had gone through this operation several years prior. Although Dr. Biber was not my surgeon, I had spoken to others who mentioned that there just aren't new surgeons coming out. And at the time, I had thought that Dr. Biber had long ago retired. His name was still out in the legacy and the lore in the transgender community, but he wasn't considered by the late 1990s to be the place to go to, as there were other surgeons who had come along. But there were very, very few. And two of the leading surgeons, one of which Dr. Biber had trained, he and Dr. Biber were both getting older, and no one really coming behind. So a couple of therapists from Seattle mentioned that they were coming down this way and asked if I'd like to join them. And so I did. And the first time I met him was in his office. He turned to me and said, you know, we're looking for an OBGYN. This is a small town, and we need someone here to deliver babies, and I could help you learn this surgery. In other words, the transgendered surgery. He suggested that I move here with my husband and my kids, and I took that as a great compliment, given that he really didn't, at the time, know my background.
So Dr. Biber did not recognize that.
He didn't. I took that as a compliment to me, yes.
And this required you moving to Trinidad, Colorado. I wonder what you make of Trinidad. I mean, this town where these many surgeries happen, where the folks are likely staying at local hotels and in local restaurants and certainly at the local hospital. What do you make of that town, that this is a place where all of this could have happened and continues to happen?
Well, many over the years consider this place nothing short of a spiritual mecca, and in the sense of fulfilling something that many consider to be a spiritual path. The notion of a change of gender or having two spirits has been championed in different cultures and different religions over the years, Indian cultures, and there are references in the Bible and things like that, that mythology also has characters that have apparently transformed from one sex to the other. Making that in a place as special and physically unusual as Trinidad continues the lore, I guess I'd say.
But surely there were those in Trinidad who remained opposed, or at least uncomfortable with what Dr. Biber was doing in their town.
You know, there have been moments of opposition over the years, and I think that's where Dr. Biber had been such an important force, because he was able to calm those fears and to use reason and education for explaining why this is an important process. People just believed in him. They believed in him for their general medical care, for their surgical care. And if he said that this was important to these individuals, the townspeople believed him. Yes, there were people that felt that, you know, this was a moral issue and that there were reasons why it was, you know, reprehensible and that he shouldn't be doing the operations. But they never lost faith in him. Overall, they never lost faith in him. In answering the critics, I love to quote from the Bible myself, and I would just say, "There but for the grace of God go I." And although Dr. Biber, I don't recall him ever saying that quote, I think he would feel the same way, in that if you just simply react to what people are all about in a manner of unconditional love and without judgment, and you genuinely feel for what they're experiencing, then I think you begin to understand.
As I understand it, Dr. Biber stopped practicing when he was 80, not too long ago. Why is it that he stopped?
That's right. Well, he certainly hadn't lost any of his surgical skills, and continued to do orthopedics. He continued to do general surgery, and of course he continued to do these gender operations. But his insurance company decided that they were going to drop malpractice insurance. So Dr. Biber, at age 80, was forced to look for malpractice insurance again. And then at that point faced problems of age and things that insurance companies simply didn't want to insure him, both because of his age and because of perhaps the controversial nature of his surgeries.
He died of pneumonia. Any sense for how he caught it?
Dr. Biber had one of the largest cattle ranches in Colorado and was known to have greater than 2,000 head of cattle. He continued to work his cattle ranch every day, but that's just the way he was. He was an active rancher right to the very end. And so in December, when his cattle needed to go to market, Dr. Biber insisted on running the cattle drive. Somewhere between here and Nebraska, unfortunately, he came down with something. And I think he, like Dr. Biber, no doubt did, just continue to work through it. And when it was serious enough and we found it was pneumonia, he did appear to improve and then, unfortunately, relapsed a bit and needed to go to the hospital. So,
do you remember your last interaction with him?
Yes, I had been asking, of course, every day, and I'd been to the hospital a couple of times to see him in intensive care. But the last time I saw him was standing at the soda machine in the hospital, as he so often does, just comes in for lunch to visit with the local townspeople. And so he just said, "Hey, kid, how's it going?" He gave me a hug, as he always does, and that's what I remember.
Marcy, I wonder whether or not, after his passing, and certainly with your work now, will Trinidad remain what it has been dubbed, the sex change capital of the world? I mean, you say you hailed from Seattle. Why not move to somewhere more convenient? What's the future of this town's role in these procedures?
I'm not much of a sports-minded person, but when the thought of operating in Trinidad as a sex change surgeon here comes to mind, it's a bit like operating in Lambeau Field or Yankee Stadium. Trinidad became known as the sex change capital of the world, and although some people don't like that moniker, it retains a place in the legacy of gender transformation.
And is that legacy strong enough that it will continue, do you believe?
Well, Dr. Biber came here, and he'd only planned to be here for a couple of years, and he ended up staying more than 50. I'm not sure I hope to stay here more than 50, but I've already been here 3, and it's a place that grows on you. I think the best thing I can say about Trinidad, you know, I'm a city person. I've been in cities for most of my life, but there is something that captivates you, and I think it's the love that people have for each other here, and the genuine feeling of complete acceptance. The citizens of Trinidad migrate here for different reasons. Over the years, it's been a mining capital. It's been it's on the Santa Fe Trail. I think the thing that, for me, really captures Trinidad is that just no matter who is here, people have a genuine caring about each other, and they just don't pass judgment. We may talk about each other, we may laugh about each other, but there truly is a sense of live as you are, you know, be who you are, and you know, there but for the grace of God go I.
Dr. Bowers, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it.
I appreciate being here, Ryan. Thank you very much.
Dr. Marcy Bowers is an OBGYN in Trinidad, Colorado. She also specializes in sexual reassignment surgery. Dr. Bowers studied under and now runs the practice of Dr. Stanley Biber. Biber had performed more than 5,000 sex changes throughout his career. He died January 16th at the age of 82. This is Colorado Matters on KCFR.